Welcome to episode 3, I think, of Sisters Saved in Christ. Today we are going to be talking about the importance of Christ-centered friendships and how it has directly benefited me and Jasmine in our own journey.
And before we get started, if anybody listened to the last episode and thought I was projecting onto you guys, I know it sounds that way. I was not trying to like undermine y'all's situations and y'all's struggles. I was simply trying to say, don't just go to God to ask for things. So don't think that I was saying, oh, your struggles are nothing, you know, all this and that. No, that's not what I was trying to do. So if anyone felt that way, I'm sorry.
We were just trying to imply that there needs to be a balance between asking, but also giving thanks and gratitude.
Yeah. But anyways,
something I wanted to add another disclaimer specifically for this episode. We are going to be talking about Christ-centered friendships and mostly about me and Jasmine's friendship and how it has directly impacted each of us in our own journey with Christ. But I want to make it very specifically clear that throughout this episode, yes, that is going to be the focus of what we're talking about. But I want to make it clear that it's also important to have other relationships and friendships in your life that aren't necessarily built on Christ, just because God left the 99 for the one. And just because someone probably isn't a Christ believer, like, doesn't mean that they're a bad person or their lifestyle is awful. So don't go out and cut anybody off just because they're a non-believer or anything. Yeah. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that whenever you're new in your journey and you're following God, it's important to have the same people in your life who have the same morals as you, because they are going to keep you on the right track with God. And I think that they're going to help you grow closer to Him and keep you accountable and away from sin and falling back into your old lifestyle.
Yeah, I think it's important to touch on, you can't be a true disciple if you only stay with people who think the exact same way you do and who want to live a certain life the same way you do. You can't reach out to other people if you're ignoring them. And also goes to say, don't just judge everybody and be that Christian who puts a bad picture on all Christians just because we're like, people are going to be like, oh, all Christians, they're going to hate me because I do this and that and blah, blah, blah. No, don't be that person just because they're non-believers. So just to say that before we get into it, because we are going to get into the thick of it soon. If you want, I wanted to start with this verse, Matthew 18, verse 20. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Meaning, if you do have Christ-built relationships and people who are believers with you, when you're surrounding yourself with those people, you're surrounding yourself with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You're in, I mean, me and Carol will be hanging out and stuff, and we'll just be like, okay, we're happy-go-lucky right now. I'm in a room with a bunch of people who aren't believers, and no hate to them, but my mood's shot. I start cussing more, even though I'm trying not to. Like, the Holy Spirit's just not there. So when you gather with people who have the same beliefs as you, you're going to feel it. Everybody's going to feel it.
I've honestly experienced that a lot, and it's something that I tend to feel a lot, like, really guilty about and, like, shame, is when I'm in those settings where it's not Christ-focused. I recognize that I do start sinning more, because it's when you're surrounded by something like that, it's easy to fall back into it because you don't have that one friend or that something that's, like, kind of tugging you back to the shore.
Yeah, that, the voice of reason. You don't have, like, that voice of reason with you in your friend or in Christ, because the Holy Spirit is not going to be where it's not welcomed.
Amen, so. Girl. Say that one again a little bit louder.
Kind of going back to surrounding yourself with people who want to be with God and want to be followers of Christ. Surrounding yourself with people like that is surrounding yourself with love. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the two things that he said is to love God with all your mind, heart, and soul, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself, or, you know, love your enemy as you love your neighbor. So if you live by those morals, it literally only brings peace and love into your life. It only helps bring you up. So I think that's an important thing when you're trying to find these Christ-centered relationships. You're doing it for your mental health. Your mental health and the other person's mental health. Because there'll be times when me and Kara, even today, girl was going through it.
And I was going through it. When I tell you I was in the trenches today, I was in the trenches. Like, I was texting, not even texting, I was spamming Jasmine, and I was like, the rage I feel, I'm so angry, and I was like, I cannot wait to do this episode, because I just know it's going to make me feel better. And honestly, the minute I saw Jasmine pulling up into my driveway, I was, like, instantly, it literally felt like all of my problems were lifted, because she is, like, how she was mentioning, like, when you're surrounded by those things, you feel the peace and you feel the love, and it's like a light switch.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the difference, and it's really palpable, and I was going through it, but, you know, God, he's going to pull me out of it soon. I'm just waiting.
But no, it's important. And let's face, like, I've been going through a lot, kind of my own waiting season. I've been going through my own waiting season. And when you're going through, like, those hard times, like, let's face it, sometimes I'm like, okay, I can't see God. I don't know that he's listening to me.
Yeah.
You're supposed to have friends who are those physical ears that are, like, listening to you.
And, like, reminding you that he's there. He's working for you. Because when you're in those situations, it's hard to tell yourself that, to give yourself that reminder. Because you're feeling so lonely and you're feeling like you're not being heard. So it's not, let's be honest, you're not going to sit down and have a conversation with yourself and give yourself the honesty that you need in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, he is there. He's working for you. You're not going to feel that. You need people in your life to remind you of that, and because that's what's gonna make your ears open up.
Yeah, and like to have the friend, because I think we've all been in these friendships where it's like not like legit, like like they're more of an acquaintance than like a friend. So when you vent to them, like it almost doesn't.
You don't
want to
go
genuine.
Too
yeah.
in detail anyway.
And you need to have people in your corner that you're not ashamed to go cry to, like.
Amen.
Like, I'm not ashamed for Kara to see my eyes watering, you know? I'm not ashamed to go to my husband and cry my eyes out.
Amen.
You need those people in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to be bottling that up. You're going to be in your own corner, in, like, your room or in your car, wherever, crying to yourself. And that's just so much of a burden to go through and not have an outlet for it.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's times where it's like, okay, I'm crying to God. Like, I want to feel your presence right now. I need some guidance. But he doesn't always talk to us right when we ask him to. He has his own time, and we're not commanding him to do anything. So when we don't feel him, when he's not there, it's important to have those people like, girl, I'm going through it. Like, you know, send me a Bible verse or, you know, whatever.
I honestly relate to that so much, especially what you were just saying about how you're feeling lonely. When I first moved here, like 2 years ago, because I made the decision to leave Charlotte. That was something that I spoke about in the last episode. But when I moved here, obviously my friends do live in this area, but they're on campus right now. So they're not here for majority of the year,
mm-hmm.
to be quite honest. And so I was like here all by myself. Like, yeah, I had my boyfriend and everything, but like it's different. You need those other relationships in your life. And I remember, like, I would cry, like, every single day because I felt so much loneliness. And I felt like I had no genuine relationships that I could have, like, day to day. Like, I mm-hmm. felt like I would have to wait months to have that feeling with my usual group of girls.
Yeah.
And it was really depressing. And I remember, like, just, like, begging for, like, more friends. And then, boom, here comes Jasmine pulling up to work. And it was like a huge turning point in my life, like when I met Jasmine. And when I say she is like the true embodiment of what a sister in Christ is, this girl holds me like 10 toes down. Like when I have been having a rough couple of days and she literally will pull me out of it. She does this like cute thing where she'll do the verse of the day. And she started this before I was even, like, thick into my faith.
Yeah.
She would send me a verse of the day, and she would even go as far as, like, she would quote it. She would explain it. She would tell me how to apply it in my life. And it was, like, a blessing for me because growing up, I always felt too dumb to understand scripture. And I feel like that's why I was never really into religion so much and like into having that relationship, because I kind of felt that disconnected from like understanding what it meant. And so when you have started doing that, it was like a huge turning point for me, because it was like, oh, like you, because I was going through that dark point in my life, it was like the minute Jasmine popped up, she was like the light that was like shining at the end of the tunnel. So yeah, I'm very grateful for her.
You're making me blush.
Okay. But, it's just a sign.
I don't know if you remember, but there was one point, and it, when we first started, like when we first met, we didn't immediately start hanging out. I think it was like maybe like a month.
I would even go to say like 2 months.
Yeah, it, like we talked a lot at work, and then it like kind of grew on that. But there was a point, so I had kind of vented to Kara about like all my past friendships to where I used to live, and I was going through it at home, and I told Kara, I was like, at this point, like, it's like if anything were to happen, it's like ain't nobody in my corner. Like that's how, and I know that's not true, but I think we've all been there where we felt
we've
like
all
that.
Had that thought, yeah.
And I literally was like crying and texting Kara, and then she was like, well, I can just pick you up right now. We can have a party at my place, you know? Like, that's the kind of friend you need. You don't need the friend.
Like, I picked homegirl up, and we had a sleepover.
You don't need the friend that's just going to be like, oh, why are you feeling so sorry for yourself? Or, you know, like, you know those people that are, like, look down on it.
There are some people who, they're too into what they have going on into their life. And, like, yeah, that's not a crime. Because, yes, life is very chaotic, and sometimes we don't have the mental capacity to be there for other people. I completely understand that. But there are some people who I think they aren't really in friendships for the right reason. I think a lot of people, especially, this is specific to our generation too, I believe, like, especially with like the college crowd and everything, they're too focused on who has the most friends.
Popularity.
It's more of quantity over quality.
Yes.
And so when we see all of these people having all of these huge friend groups, going to all of these parties, and it makes us feel like, well, what's the disconnect with me? Why do I not have that?
Mm-hmm.
When just because you don't have the biggest friend group, or you're not the most popular person, that doesn't make you unlovable, or makes you feel like you can't vent to someone about what you're going through. But I feel like because people are so used to prioritizing the bigger friends group, they don't have the time to be there for you in that moment. And so, yeah, they tend to kind of push your problems to the side and label it as victim blaming, or, oh, she's just a complainer, like, she can never be happy.
Yeah. Well, and Kara's been through a friendship recently, and I've been through a lot of friendships in the past, that it's almost like you always butt heads.
Yeah.
Or it's like you guys just can't see the same, be on the same page on anything, or, you know, whatever. It's okay to take a step back and be like, okay, I need to grow on myself. They need to grow on themselves. If God puts a wedge between you and, like, someone else that you've already been debating, should I be surrounding myself with this person or with these people? He's putting that wedge there for a reason. And it's not just to say, oh, they need to mature. Both sides need to mature. Both sides need to figure stuff out. If it's meant to be a good friendship, y'all will come back together. If it's not, y'all will live y'all's lives and everything will be okay. Either way, we're all Gucci here. But it's important to don't be scared to let go of a friendship just because, let's say, oh, I've been talking to this person for like 3 years, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
And?
Like,
it's okay to step back and be like, okay, maybe I just need a break, or, you know, grow or whatever. I think that's important to remember.
When I was at that point to the friendship she's referring to, specifically during that time period, I was talking to God, and I was asking him to please remove any bad fruit from my life that isn't adding on to what I have.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not contributing to my relationship with him, if it's not contributing to my mental health and my happiness, if it's not filling my cup, then why am I prioritizing it? Why am I chasing after that? Like, it doesn't feel fair.
Yeah.
And it's completely okay to outgrow people if you are not on the same direction with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely okay. There, just because you aren't friends with someone anymore, that does not mean you hate the person. And I feel like that's a big miscommunication with today, is so many people feel like, oh, she unfollowed me on Instagram. Oh, she doesn't talk to me anymore. Oh, I only get a birthday text every once a year.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean there's any animosity or bad blood. It's just people grow. And, you know, if you are having questions, reach out. I feel like there's so much pride in today's...
There is.
There's so much pride that people just can't put things aside and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was a very big problem because I'm a very communicative person. I like to communicate my feelings. Like, I like to talk about it. Like, life is too short to feel like, oh, I need to win this argument, or like, yeah. Oh, no, I need to make sure everybody knows my side and knows that I'm mm-hmm. right. Like, that doesn't matter. What matters is having a friend who is going to be there for you and who will communicate with you. When I say that Jasmine and I, we don't argue. We have not once, and like, this is going to sound like so cliche, but no, we've never had an argument in our life. And that's not to say like, oh, if you've had an argument in your life, y'all aren't meant to be friends. No, that's mm-mm. not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have never had an argument in our life because we care about our relationship with each other so yeah. much that if we ever do see that we are coming up to a disagreement, or, you know, we have a difference of opinion, we talk about it and we settle it in that moment.
Yeah.
With each other's perspective, like, in thought. Like, we're looking out for each other because that's how it should be. Like, mm-hmm. when you are friends with someone, you want to have, like, you want to just be thinking of them because you don't want it to feel like, oh, I have to one-up this person.
Yeah. And there was another verse. It kind of goes along with this. Like, I mentioned it before, the story of Job mm-hmm. and how he, like, went through it. Everything was, like, gone. And, before I say this verse, don't come for me. I know I'm going to say these names wrong, and I'm going to say these places wrong, but...
That's me with
anyone, so okay. Just all the loss he's dealt with, and he had people there to comfort him, is basically what this verse is saying. And it's Job 2, verse 11. This is the New King James Version. And it says, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him." So sometimes it's like, of course, these Christ-centered friendships is the whole topic of the episode. But sometimes you need that person, not even to give you a solution, not even to just like tell you what you need to do. And like, sometimes I don't want to hear that. I just want someone.
I don't want a solution. I just want to feel heard.
Yes, I just want someone to listen to me. Like, lay with me and, like, cry or whatever. And, you know, that be that. Then tomorrow we can start talking about problem solving. Yeah. Yeah. It's important to have those people, too. Because, I mean, we all have, like, boyfriends, husbands, dads, whatever. You go to them with a problem, they're like, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do... Did you drink water today? Like, yes, I drank water today. That's not the root of all my problems. Like... So you just need those people that will just be the ears, be the physical ears when we don't feel God, to just listen, mourn with you. We can solve this tomorrow. Like, yeah. Everything, I feel like we're in such a fast-paced society that we feel like everything's in a hurry. If there's a problem, we have to fix it right now. And if we don't, I'm going to lose hair and, like, my hair's going to turn gray or whatever. No, you can push it back a day. Like, everything doesn't have to be right now and now and now. Mm-hmm. But we live in a society where if you don't do it now... you're losing money, or if you don't do it now, like, you don't have all the time in the world. And that's a mindset that a lot of people have. My dad always says, like, I want to do everything now because I never know when my last day on earth is. Valid, but
amen, but take it slow. Like, yeah, trust in God. He's got you.
Yeah. So I think that's really important, to just take a step back. You have time, and even if you don't have time here, you have all the time in heaven. So just, not everything has to be in a rush.
I feel like when people bring up the topic of, like, Christ-centered friendships, I feel like there is a stigma that Christians are boring. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, like, makes people kind of hesitant to the thought. Like, no, I don't really want to leave my worldly friends, you know? Because they look like they're having so much fun, and, like, what can Christians really do? Like, how do they hang out? They're... is so many things you can do. Like, you can go, one of my favorite things to do with Jasmine is go on prayer walks, where we'll just be walking and we'll, like, blast worship music and we'll just, like, talk about God with each other, and we'll pray, like, we'll say whatever is on our mind, whatever we've been struggling with.
Yeah.
And it's a really, like, intimate, and it's a beautiful thing. Like, having those Christ-centered friendships, it's beautiful. There's nothing that can compare to it. because it's just so raw and real and
in the moment.
In the moment.
Yeah. I think a big misconception is, because even I fell into this before I came in my faith with Jesus, is that if you're friends with a Christian, everything they do is going to be Christian this, God this, Jesus this, and every other word out of their mouth is going to be like, praise the Lord. That's not true. A Christ-centered friendship isn't just going to be me shoving down my faith into your throat. It's me being there. It's me being genuine. Me understanding that even if you're not a believer, I'm still going to love you. Like, mm-hmm. that's what Jesus stood for. That's what we're trying to stand for. So if you have those Christian friends or Christian people in your life and you're like, oh, I don't really want to be that close to them because everything's just going to be about God and I don't want to deal with that. No, that's not what it is.
Yeah.
You'll really find genuine people. I mean, people in our church, we're becoming friends with some girls in our church. Every time we talk to them, it's not about, oh, God, Jesus. No. You're like, how have you been? Like, have you been good?
We talked about sunscreen.
Yeah, skincare. Whenever we talk about growing from the friendships we've had in the past, mm-hmm. if any of the people I used to be friends with are listening to this, I doubt it. But if they are, no hate. All the love for you. Mm-hmm. I grow from it. I think we all do. We all learn lessons from the friendships we've had in the past. I mean, in the past, if I would argue with someone and they said something back to me, I want the last word. I want you to know that I had the last word over you.
Yeah.
Or like, if you think you're all bad and tough, guess what? I could do it better.
Yeah.
Like, that was my mindset. Versus now, if someone wants to argue with me or if there's a situation at work or whatever, now I take a step back. And I literally had to text Kara the other day. I said, should I swallow my pride and ask this person, like, for work-related stuff?
I told her yes.
And she said, yeah, just swallow your pride. And I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll swallow my pride. And look, now we're talking and everything's fine. So
see, that's the definition of why it's important to have a friend who is going to keep you reliable in your faith. Because in the Bible, it talks about not having pride and making sure to set that aside because it's not going to benefit you in your journey with Jesus. And so when she came to me, I wouldn't have been doing my duty as her friend by telling her, yes, keep your pride. Make sure you get the last word. Make mm-hmm. sure you strut when you walk off, too. Like, I wouldn't be doing her any justice because I wouldn't be bettering her as a person.
Yeah.
Like, none of us is ever completely wrong.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, we're going to have disagreements with people. That doesn't mean, oh, my goodness, like, they should, like, go chew rocks or something. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, nothing is ever non-fixable, I think.
I agree.
You can always, if you care about it enough or you're willing to put in the time, you can always sit down, have a conversation, and there can always be a solution. It might never be able to go back to, you know, point A where it started, but that doesn't mean it always has to be rocky.
Yeah. And that goes for, like, if like Kara said, she was praying to God to remove, like, whatever's not good in her life. Mm-hmm. If you are taking that initiative, trying to be the bigger person, which is really hard sometimes,
yeah.
and you're putting in the effort and all this stuff to fix a relationship or keep that connection with someone, and they're just hands off, just take that as a sign to hands off as well.
That is your sign.
Because it takes two. It takes two people to keep a relationship. It keeps two people to keep a friendship, whether it's romantic, regular friends, whatever. Every relationship with every person in your life is two ways. You can't just be pleasing all these people. And I know a lot of people in our generation are very, like, people pleasing people.
Granted, is I was once that person too.
Yeah.
Like, I was a people pleaser. I never wanted to tell people no. I never wanted to put my foot down in situations. We have got to move away from that because we are not here to please man. We are here to please God. That is the only person's whose opinion matter. Now, yes, I'm not saying, oh, don't go to your husband about a purchase idea, or don't go to your friends about opinions on a dress
yeah.
or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we shouldn't be setting out to please every person of mankind, because that doesn't matter at the end of the day. That's still temporary.
Yeah, and a big thing is, so a lot of times when I'm reading the Bible, if I come across, like, a word, like, in Hebrew or something, I'll look it up and try to understand the words, because I feel like the more you understand the root words that it was really written in, the more you'll understand, like, God's message for you. And we all say amen, but do y'all really know what amen even means? It literally means, so be it, let it go. So when you're praying, and if you're praying for this friendship to work or not to work or whatever, and you say amen, so be it. Let it go. Give it to God. He'll take care of it. So every time you say amen, literally, if you're not letting it go, you're saying it and you're not doing it. So I think it's important to know, and this doesn't even go for friendships, this goes for everything. Mm-hmm. Even I'm having a hard time doing it right now with what I'm praying for. When you say it, really mean it. Like, when you pray, really mean what you're praying to God. Because in Jesus' name, amen, that holds a lot of strength. Mm-hmm. It really does. I don't know. I just felt like I needed to say that.
Because that's something that I wanted to talk about, too. As Christians, we go through a lot of spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Warfare, I meant. I always butcher that word. Basically, if you don't know what that means, that just means, like, the closer that you're growing your relationship with God, the enemy is trying to attack you. Like, that is when you feel like you would be facing the most trials. Like, everything feels like it's hitting you at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of start, like, lingering or, like, departing from God. So it's important that when you're going through that, when you're experiencing that, it's important to have that Christian friend who is going to genuinely pray for you in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Because praying is so much stronger when it's together. Granted, your prayers are strong as individuals if you just maintain that, and if you're genuine and if you're being confident about the words that you're saying. But it's just something so heartwarming where I'll go to Jasmine about a problem or anything happening in my life, and I don't even ask her to pray for me. And then, you know, sometimes a couple days later, she'll text me and she's like, you know, I prayed for you, you know? And it just makes you feel like, you know, there's people out there who really keep you in their thoughts, who really want the best for you. And it's just, I don't know, it makes me cry, so.
There was this time where I was at work, and I was in a stage in my life where I was like, not a stage, I'm still in it, but it's like, I'd wake up, I'd work out, I'd cook dinner, put it in the fridge so my husband can heat it up when he gets home, I'd go to work, and it's almost like, when can I pray, when do I have time with my Bible? So I would literally, like, be in my car on my break, reading my Bible, writing my prayer journal, all that stuff. And later that same day, I texted Kara. I was like, hey, are you okay? And she was like, why? And I said, you've just been heavy on my mind, and, like, God was telling me to pray for you.
Oh,
and
you're going to make me cry.
And she just, like, opened up. I didn't even know she was going through, like, all the mental stuff she was going through and, like, everything in her life. But I was like, wow, it's like God puts that stuff on our minds. Not even just, like, for me. Of course I'm going to pray if I feel like it, but for it to actually do its thing. I was, even last night, I was telling Kara how I did some things for some of my issues, and she was like, well, I'm glad you told me, and I'm glad you did that, because I prayed for you about it last night.
And it's like, I really did. Y'all, we were in shock over this moment. Like, it felt like a full circle moment, and it was like a time when I was like, oh, we heard God, like, loud and clear on yes. this. Because we were having, like, a genuine conversation, and she was coming to me with her fears, and her fears that she currently has, and she opened up to me about it out of nowhere, and I said, thank you for bringing this to my attention, like, thank you for, like, letting me know about it, because she has a habit of feeling like she has to, like, you know, hold herself together all the time.
Yeah.
Every single moment of the day, she feels like she has to be that person who's strong for everybody else. And like the night before, I literally prayed for her. I prayed for her that, you know, God will protect her heart and her soul and her mind, and that any fears that she has, she'll lift them up to God because they're out of her hands, and that if she puts her trust in him fully, she will be taken care of.
Yeah.
And I opened up to her about that, and she got emotional. But it's just,
I was like, okay, I'm going to go cry now.
Impact.
Yeah. I don't know. It's God, when you have those Christ-centered friendships, God is speaking to your friends to have your back. And same for you. Like, he'll be speaking to me to have their back. And this even goes to, like, if you're really, really with God, he'll speak to you to pray for people that you aren't even that thick in their faith. Like, I'll pray for my husband. And, if, like, he's getting there, but, like, he's not he's not on fire for the Lord right now, you know? And
it's a journey.
Yeah, and it's like that for everybody, but when you're really true with God, he's going to put you in people's life to be that person, like I said in the first episode, to be that vessel. Mm-hmm. And it just, whenever you look back on it and be like, oh, you were praying for me, and oh, it actually worked, it builds faith.
The first time that ever happened to me, because, you know, you hear people say, oh, I'm praying for you, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Or, I'll keep you in my prayers.
You hear that all the time. And then you kind of, after that, you kind of almost think nothing of it because you don't really expect to see the works of it because mm-hmm. we're so used to, you know, being in our waiting season and waiting to see how he patiently works in our life. So when you find out that someone prayed for you and then you... physically you saw the impact of it and what came out of it, you just start to feel like, wait, like, this is all so purposeful, like, mm-hmm. everything, like, it all means something. There's like a lasting impression of everything that we do for each other.
And I think because, like, when people say, like, I'm keeping you in my prayers, or oh, keep so and so in your prayers tonight, you know, they're going through surgery, whatever, I think we're so used to seeing it and so used to hearing people doing it that it loses its value to us. Like, it's almost like we're getting desensitized from it, for lack of better words. But it does hold strength and it builds faith when you see it working, because the last two times that I just told you guys about with me and Kara, like, we were like, that's kind of weird.
We were like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Repeat. I almost didn't believe her. Like, I almost just didn't believe her. But then I was driving home, and then when I got home, I was like, wait a minute, I prayed for this situation the night before.
Yeah. Okay, and then another verse that I want to hit before we wrap things up today is John 15:12-13, also the New King James Version. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And we have to remember that Jesus called the disciples. Mm-hmm. He called them his friends. And he was laying that down for an example for all of us. And I know it's hard. Like, we all say, I take a bullet for you, but it's hard to actually mean it.
Yeah.
Like, I say that, but if someone put a gun to my head, I'd be like... What do you want? Like, what do you want?
I'll give it to you. Yeah. You're not gonna ask. I'll read your mind.
But I feel like a true friend would.
Yeah.
A true friend in Christ would, because they know they have something better for them after this life anyways. And I think it's important to realize that Jesus did set an example in every aspect of life that we live by today. He set an example for us to follow. So we should try. I know... it's hard, but we should try to follow that example. I mean, he literally did lay his life down for his friend, not even just for his friends, but for all of us. So it's important to remember that and realize that that is what a Christ-centered friendship is based off of what he's already done for us.
Keep in mind that we were all worthy to die for in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we know that we weren't deserving of that. Like, we didn't deserve the kindness that he showed us.
Yeah.
The boldness that he showed us. The mercy that he shows us every single day. But he gave it to us anyway. And when we are looking at other people here on earth, I feel like it's important to take a moment and realize that. Because it can be so easy to go out and dislike one another or mm-hmm. have hatred for each other. Just realize, like, they are all learning as we are, too. Like, we're all people. We're all going to make mistakes. Granted, like, if they're mistakes, have discussions about them. Don't let them just stay complacent in that. But take the time to get to know one another, because, granted, we're not here forever.
Yeah. And not just for making friends, but... be compassionate and sympathize with one another, even if they're just an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, they could be having the worst day of their life. And then
you don't even know it.
Yeah, and
that's
then
so crazy.
If you just, like, yell at them because they irritated you, that's, like, that was their last straw. You know, like, it could have a bigger impact than you think. And also, like, people do the smallest things, like hold a door open for me or whatever, like a stranger at the store.
I think about that all day.
And it makes my day, you know? So be that person to make other people's day. Even if you're not like, oh, I'm going to be best friends with this person. That doesn't mean, just because you're not striving to be friends with someone doesn't mean don't be nice.
Yeah.
And what's the purpose of being spiteful? What's the point of being irritable with people?
It adds nothing to your day.
No, like, it doesn't.
At the end of the day, it, honestly, it will make you feel worse.
And, like, fear, worry, all of that, that's the devil at work.
Trust me, I know it.
And I was talking to Kara the other day. She was going through it, and she said, we can cut this out, but she said, I feel like the enemy is really trying to get to me right now because I'm struggling right now. And I told her, you know, the enemy, Satan, he waited for Jesus to be on his 40th day of, like, being in the forest with no food and everything to get to him. So when you're at your weakest point, he's going to strike. So have those people in your corner that keep you back on track. Okay, read your Bible. Okay, here's a verse of the day. Whatever. Put you back on that track, because he will strike. And he's not going to strike people that's already in their worldly ways. He wants more people to go to hell with him. So if he knows you're a follower of Christ and you're struggling, he's going to be like, this is my time to shine, you know?
That's why it's important to have those people in your corner who can back you up and, like, keep you firm in your faith. Yeah. Like, because it gets hard. Like, when you are feeling low or when you are feeling like you're constantly attacked, it makes you almost kind of regret, like, pursuing, because it's like, well, dang, let me go know the other piece, you know? But that kind of piece, it's temporary. It's not going to last. Like, Jasmine, whenever I do go to her with those situations, whenever I'm feeling low and when I feel like I'm being attacked, her one reminder every single time that never fails is to read my Bible. And boy, is she right. Like, I will realize, like, the moment I sit down and I write in my prayer journal, or I do my Bible study, or if I even listen to, like, a sermon online, I instantly feel better, and then I feel so much peace, and that just compares to nothing.
Yeah, and whenever I mentioned before that God speaks to you to help your friends, there will be times where I will go to write, like, the Bible or the verse, and literally I'll just do my Bible study, whatever chapters I'm reading, and I'll highlight, and the ones that I highlight, I'll be like, okay, which one should I send her? But sometimes there's, like, a good, like, a couple that I'm like, ooh, that's a good one, and I'll text Kara, and I won't even tell her what it's for. I said, pick this number or this number, and she didn't even ask me what it's for either, but she picked a number. And I sent her that verse, and she was like, I'm so glad that I picked that one, because I really needed to hear that. So he works in mysterious ways, but he's
really
working.
Does.
He's working, and don't ever
it's
forget that.
It's not magic, it's him. Like, yeah. I know, like, a lot of those, like, oh, that's a coincidence, things happen all the time. Like,
yeah.
It happens, but so many people are so quick to think, oh my God, it's the universe working.
It's my zodiac sign.
Yeah. No, it's God. He just works in mysterious ways. And it's not like when people say, I heard God. It's not like we're physically hearing his voice boom down from the clouds. It's in the ways that he does work for us, in ways like that.
Yeah.
Or in ways where, you know, you told me that thing and then I was like, wait, I prayed for this. Those are the ways in which we see it.
Yeah. And, oh, I was going to say, me and Kara were talking, and this kind of goes off topic. This really doesn't
in
have to do
we
anything.
Never shut up.
I don't really think this has anything to do with the topic, but there are these people, and it almost, whenever I was starting my walk with Christ and starting this journey in my faith, the people that would always tell you, oh, God spoke to me, or like, oh, I heard God, like, over and over and over, and you sit there like, ain't no way he's talking to you over, like, you know, like,
yeah,
ain't no way you're hearing his voice so vividly this time.
You really don't understand what people mean by that until, you know.
I know, and there was this one, I think it was the Good Friday service at church. Kara wasn't there because she had, like, work or something, I forget. But she wasn't there, and I went with my husband, and of course, it's Good Friday, so it's all about how, like, he laid down his life for us and everything like that. And that was the first time, and I told Kara, I felt it through my body. I was, like, crying with my head down. That was the first time it was so vivid to me that he was talking to me. And I haven't even felt it since, but it's just, like, when you feel it and when you know it, it's powerful. So when you hear other people saying it, they mean it from their heart.
Like, they're not just saying it to see, oh, who can look like the better Christian. Who can look like they're on fire for God the most. Like, it's not a competition.
Mm-mm.
Like, this is, like, real things that we're experiencing. Like, this is a real relationship with him.
Yeah.
And I feel like people kind of take that for granted, or, you know, they kind of just take it at face value. They don't see past that.
Mm-hmm.
But in conclusion, we just want to say that, you know, go out and, like, build those Christ-centered friendships with people. And, you know, if that's not something that you're interested in, still maintain those friendships. But, you know, be an example for people.
And even, of course, build Christ-centered friendships. But, like we said, that doesn't mean don't build friendships with people who aren't so strong in faith. Because sooner or later, maybe they'll hear you and they will turn to God. There's been a few people that's reached out to us lately that have listened to the podcast that have gone out, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, just because they're not firm in faith, or just because they don't have the same beliefs and religious values as you do,
we never doesn't give up
mean
on people.
Yeah, doesn't mean stop talking to them, don't be
cut
them
off,
yeah,
or, oh, no, you're not good enough to be my friend or good enough to be in my life. Like, there's no such thing as that.
Yeah, you could be the start of that Christ-centered friendship. You could be the reason that friendship turns into a Christ-centered one. So don't be hateful to anybody.
We didn't start out Christ-centered.
No, and I, like I said before, I did not grow up saying, like, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, all, like, none of that. I came to it, I dabbled in it here and there, but when me and Kara, like, already had a firm friendship with each other, but it was one of those things that we were friends, but it was awkward to hug. Or yeah. we were friends, but it would be like, it's weird to say, like, I love you or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. And then we found God. We started going to church. And I remember I complimented her on something. And then she said, this is how you know we've grown. We don't have to be drunk to, you know, be sentimental with each other. Yeah. We can do this sober and not feel
because
weird.
Because in our old ways, like, honestly, this is real. This is specifically for our journey. So we're not going to lie on here. You know, when we were in, like, the beginning of our friendship, you know, we've cut this out now. Like, we have stopped getting drunk.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest and I'll admit that, because, you know, I'm not perfect and I don't want to set the example or the expectation that now that I believe in God and that I'm following him, I suddenly don't sin anymore. There, like, whenever we would overindulge, that's when we would be open and vocal about, like, how much we would text each other or we'll be hanging out and we're like, oh my God, I love you so much, like, this friendship, like, you're the best friend that I never yeah. thought that I would ever have. We're now at that point in our life where we don't need to overindulge in those things to be open about that with each
yeah.
other, because we know that I am so vocal about how important she is to me, because I know that God specifically placed her in my life for a reason, and I give thanks to that. I want to make that clear every single day.
And our pastor at the last Sunday service that we had, he was making it a point, like, don't be ashamed of your faith. You're not ashamed of, you know, all the other things you do in life. You're not ashamed to say, oh, I have a boat, I have this. Don't be ashamed to say I have God, and don't be ashamed to say thank you for the friends that you have, I think is a big thing. And
literally,
it's not, and don't be ashamed and don't be, like, embarrassed or anything, because it's there for a reason. He's the one who's giving you all this. So if you're grateful for what he's giving you, but you're ashamed to accept him, that doesn't even make sense.
The math is not mathing.
Yeah. So no, it's important. I think it's very important to don't be embarrassed to embrace the love in your life, whether that be with God, with your friends, whatever. I don't know. I don't even have anything else to say but that.
That was honestly a perfect way to end it.
Go. Thanks for tuning in. We're excited to film the next episode for you guys, and we hope that everybody kind of learned or were able to take something from this today.
Literally anything from the episode.
Yeah, even if it's not about friendships.
Yeah.
If it's about whatever. But no, we're glad that you guys listen. We hope that you enjoy it, and we're excited for the next one.
Bye. Bye.